105, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is a Tuesday afternoon.
Talk radio holds a very special place in the American consciousness. It's a very, very accessible, populist medium that has an intimacy that's unlike almost any other medium.
Impact over the next 6 months. Don't let the fake newsers win the media war. Join me on Rumble now for truth news with no liberal bias.
Talk radio is part of the fabric of the American experience. It is on when you get into a taxi. It is on when people are cooking. It is on in the car. As long as Americans have cars, talk radio is going to be a thing, especially for conservatives.
Why? I urge you not to take anything that I have just said as gospel. Look it all up yourself. It is critical that you know the truth.
It's like a conservative dinner table where they're talking about what everybody else is talking about that day, but they're doing it from a conservative perspective. For a lot of Americans, talk radio is the soundtrack to their life.
The GOP needs to talk about the following three things: crime, the border, and the economy. Right? We've been just hammering this and hammering this.
It's a divisive time in America right now. Partisan issues like abortion rights, immigration, gun control, they're all dominating the political discussion.
Last night, the President of the United States gave the most demagogic, dangerous speech I've ever heard from an American president, truly.
Driving some of this division is talk radio. Tune in to one of the thousands of shows on the air, and this is what you'll hear. Unfiltered and unashamedly conservative hosts repackaging news, lacing it with opinion to resonate with right-wing listeners. To understand the potency of talk radio here in the US, we're on the road, driving from state to state, talking to the talkers and listening to the listeners.
I think people forget just how giant the United States actually is. You have to drive to get everywhere. It is very common to have a long car commute.
Welcome to the program. Happy Friday. It's Dana Lash, your lovable curmudgeon.
For a lot of people, that is part of their daily routine. They go and they get their coffee. Maybe they go to Dunkin' Donuts or Starbucks. They listen to the talk radio.
And this, again, is where Democrats are so short-sighted.
What better way to make that commute go quickly than listening to something with a familiar host, listening to something that might get you a little bit riled up and ready for the day.
Let's see.
I'm like, oh my gosh. I mean, can I just like go for 7 hours without all hell breaking loose? Is it possible? Is it? Is it though?
Some of these talk radio hosts have been doing it 30 years, 40 years, where they're in the same market, talking to the same audience, 15 hours a week for decades.
I want you to listen very, very carefully to me. And if they get 2 more in the Senate and a few more in the House, that will be the law of the land in every corner of the country. I want you to think about that.
The hosts are able to build bonds with their audience, and some of it is kind of fostered by the host. They'll say, you know, as we were discussing last week, as though they're reaching out through the radio and grabbing the audience and saying, you know, it was you and I, like we're having a conversation.
Spends more time on the road than truckers. For hours, days, nights, they traverse this country with no one to talk to, no one to listen except the radio. Hosts become their companions, their entertainers, and sometimes their only source of news.
We've come to a trucking convention in Fort Wayne, Indiana, to meet with truck driver Alex Brookhouse.
Ever
listen to talk radio?
All the time. It's just about all I listen to. I'm driving the truck here, and sometimes during home time, I'll have it going in the background. Maybe not necessarily actively listening to it, but it's playing.
And as you're driving on the road, do you find that you listen to specific hosts?
I like Buck Sexton specifically. I've been listening to him for 11, 12 years. Just, it feels like he's a friend, you know, somebody I've gotten to know. I've never met the guy, never talked to him, but...
What is it that you like about Buck? What do you get out of it?
I like his interpretation on foreign policy. That's a topic that's always been important to me, and his experience as a former CIA analyst and counterterrorism expert for the New York City Police Department, it puts a no-bull kind of spin on it. And I find it useful and very resourceful.
Does talk radio offer you something that you don't get from legacy media?
Yes, personality. Personality. The big thing is they sometimes will bring up what's going on in their personal lives, how their children are doing, how their spouses are doing. Buck Sexton, he just got engaged. So it's things like that that are fun. So I guess it is a companionship kind of thing.
Yeah, like a connection.
It is a connection.
I'm Clay Travis.
I'm Buck Sexton.
And you are listening to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show.
I think one of the biggest misconceptions about talk radio is that all they do is blather about national politics all day, every day. They don't. They're talking about the water cooler chatter that everybody's talking about. It's just from a conservative perspective.
To me, 9-month pregnancy, 7-month, 8-month, when the baby can survive outside the womb, that's murder.
I think the Democrat leadership is monstrous on this issue. I mean, honestly, morally,
well, they moved
monstrous.
Really wildly in their
front. They build these bonds with their audience where they're really friendships. To understand its impact, you have to understand that. When they're talking about something political, it's not like somebody reading about it in the paper. It's like somebody talking to a friend about it.
Whereas some folks might feel that mainstream news is inaccessible or jargony, or condescending, talk radio is relatable. The notion of MSM, mainstream media, as being an enemy, that's a very frequent topic of conversation on these shows.
The best examples of the worst kind of journalism you can see on MSNBC and CNN. You can see in the pages of the New York Times and the Washington Post.
They, the mainstream media, have contempt for us, have contempt for our values. And by framing it as us and our values, there's a real sense of solidarity between the talk radio hosts and their listeners.
Media that sounds like us. It's a phrase we've been hearing a lot from the Republicans we've talked to.
This notion that conservative talk radio over the past 30 years has tapped into a segment of the American population that for decades felt unheard, at times alienated, by a mainstream media that they perceive as having a liberal bias.
Prior to conservative talk radio, people who were card-carrying conservatives, people who identified themselves as conservatives, they were marginalized in the American media at large. Television, the news, alphabet soup, ABC, NBC, CBS, were primarily moderate to left of center. And anything right of center was described as radical. Suddenly, there's this new kind of radio, which is saying it's okay to be a conservative. Conservative is not only okay, conservative is better.
It's like this club where they go and everybody shares their values. They want to reflect those values of social conservatism, religiosity, national defense conservatism, and kind of a muscular, aggressive foreign policy. And then fiscal conservatism, low taxes, less government.
Americans are struggling right now, really struggling hard. Their taxes are about to go through the roof, because of the Biden budget.
You play the hits over and over again, and the opinion of the host matters the most.
You have content that is really emotional. It is capitalizing on intuition and gut feelings. It makes people angry, makes people outraged, maybe makes people fearful, but gives them a sense of what to do about it.
They wanted to go to $200 a barrel, so you can't afford gasoline, and then you will cry out for the magical electric car that will not be ready because we don't have the energy capability for everybody to plug their car into the wall.
Now, who is going to be receptive to this kind of content? What we know from political psychology is that, on average, social conservatives tend not to be very tolerant of ambiguity. They tend not to be very tolerant of nuance. They make decisions quickly and efficiently. They do it based on emotion and intuition. So talk radio, in all of its shtick, is kind of tailor-made for that kind of psychological profile.
Wendy Yeoman is a card-carrying conservative and a big fan of talk radio.
Wonderful Tuesday afternoon.
It plays all day, every day, in her barbecue restaurant in the southern state of Virginia.
There was all this talk about the red wave, that's it, Democrats are done, kick them out. Now we've got all sorts of discussion coming from the legacy news media folks. No.
What does talk radio mean to you?
Well, right now, unless you're watching Fox News, you're not getting any conservative views. So the only time that you were able to connect with any conservative views is either through Fox TV or on talk radio. That's it.
Like, who do you listen to? Is it a mix of the national guys and the local guys? Like, when you
turn it on? It is a mix of the national and the local guys, but my main go-to guy here is Jeff Katz with WRVA, who is my buddy, my pal, my go-to that I'm listening to every day.
So what is it that you love about Jeff Katz?
Jeff is real. He connects. He talks one-on-one to this audience that, even though it's tens of thousands of people that he's speaking to on a daily basis, I feel like that when Jeff's show is over, that he and I have had a living room chat.
So what kind of stuff does Jeff Katz talk about when he's on the radio?
Obviously a lot of political, but he does bring it home to feel like, even though you're living in Ashland, Virginia, that you've got some sort of sense of community with everyone across the country who has the same conservative beliefs that you do. A lot of folks understand what's going on in our country now due to folks like Jeff Katz.
I mean, Jeff Katz is clearly a celebrity here. We're sitting at the Jeff Katz table.
Yeah, we're sitting at the Jeff Katz table.
There's a Jeff Katz sandwich.
Yes.
So he really means something to the local community.
Yes,
here.
He does.
304, Jeff Katz.
We had to meet Jeff Katz to understand what it is about his show that works for someone like Wendy Yeoman.
He's a local host who's been doing talk radio for the past 30 years. He's had shows on both the East and West Coast, places like Philadelphia, Boston, San Francisco, and now here in Richmond, where he's on the air every day from 3 to 6 p.m.
All about Joe Biden's just never-ending list of disasters. Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA.
Hello, hello!
Thanks so much for having us.
Oh, wonderful to have you.
There are a lot of talk radio hosts out there. What is it about you, your style, your delivery that you think makes your listeners tune in?
I think the reason it's been successful and there's been a degree of longevity here in Central Virginia is that my listeners know I will be honest with them. And I'm going to tell you what I think about issues and what I think's important. But the listeners let you know, is this an important issue? Is this a topic we care about?
So what are some of those hot button issues that your listeners tune in for?
I think the Joe Biden faux pas of the day. I mean, this is somebody that you couldn't write the script for our president. I think he is continually saying things that are out of step with most of America at this point. There's also a disconnect, I think, with a lot of the left-wing politicians that we see in the United States. People are having a real tough time, again, with the price of gas, with the fact that Americans for the first time are going into supermarkets and seeing empty shelves. That's just not American. That's not something we have dealt with. And so these are all real issues for real people.
Man, oh man, this news story, the difficulty that people are having, the prices on so many things are just skyrocketing.
Jeff Katz's career has mirrored the growth of talk radio. He started out in the 1980s, at around the same time that the industry, as we know it today, was born. It's not as if conservative talk didn't exist before then, but that decade saw a wave of technological, economic, and regulatory changes that allowed the industry to boom.
In the 1980s, under the Reagan administration, our media ecosystem experienced huge deregulation. It's like the rails are off, right? Now, in the 1980s, you have, for example, the dissolution of the Fairness Doctrine, which in 1987, right? That had said that if you treat one side of an issue, you have to give equal time to the other side of that issue. Now, broadcasters don't have that rule. All of a sudden, talk radio is not beholden to tell the other side of the story, and it allows talk radio to really create a successful business model based on this one-sided worldview that was really popular.
Is adultery no longer a big deal in Indiana and in America? And just love to know your thoughts. Because
I, for one, believe that the seventh commandment contained in the Ten Commandments is still a big deal.
The other thing was that the AM band, the AM radio dial, was having its lunch eaten, to use an expression, by FM music stations. Music didn't sound that good on AM. So AM had to do something to compete against FM. And the idea of talking on AM radio sounded fine. It was a great way to go.
But the big domino is Rush Limbaugh goes national August 1st of 1988. And he's doing something that people just had never heard before.
The views expressed by the host on this show will soon become federal law. Why? Because they are grounded in truth,
decency, dignity, and respect for the individual.
The rise of talk radio is synonymous with the rise of one man, Rush Limbaugh. A former disc jockey, he turned to talk in the 1980s, where his character, his charisma, his controversial conservative commentary proved a winning formula, one that would come to redefine an entire industry.
As usual, doing this program with half my brain tied behind my back to make it fair, Rush Limbaugh.
Rush Limbaugh coming on the radio in the late 80s was similar to Elvis Presley going into the Memphis studios of, you know, Sun Records and recording his first records. It marked a historic moment where a great performer is now getting on the stage. He had that talent. And he had this voice that just jumped out of the radio like the voice of God.
Let that be a lesson, by the way, to you young, perspiring talk show hosts out there. It is what you do on the air that gets ratings.
When you first hear or see something that is destined to be great, it makes an interesting impression, and that's what Rush Limbaugh brought.
Rush Limbaugh is not someone who comes to the table with some advanced degree. He's not someone who comes and says, I am going to lecture you on this. He comes to it as somebody who came up through music radio, understands the power of entertainment, and again, fuses it with information, and doesn't apologize for what he believes in. And says to people who are listening, yeah, you are allowed to believe this. You are allowed to be a conservative. There's nothing wrong with it. You ought not apologize for it.
And Limbaugh never apologized.
America still not ready to elect a gay guy kissing his husband on the debate stage president.
Not when he was homophobic, xenophobic, misogynistic. Not even when his punditry was poisonous.
It makes her a slut, right? Makes her a prostitute. She wants to be paid to have sex.
And rather than offending his listeners, that rabid rhetoric is what many tuned in for.
The main goal is to keep you tuned in some way, to provoke emotion in some way.
How many of you guys, in your own experience with women, have learned that no means yes if you know how to spot it?
It can be enraging you. It can be kind of pulling at your heartstrings sometimes. It can be funny. It can be, you know, screaming.
A recently remixed version of I'm a Philanderer. And after this, my friends, we're going to offer lib-o-suction to those of you who need it.
Oh, well, I'm the type of guy.
Perhaps Limbaugh can be thought of as sort of that, the initial Republican populist leader.
That I'm proud to be an American.
He wasn't a lawmaker per se, but the spirit of populism was embedded in what he did. The notion that the people are the voice, that elites are corrupt, that institutions are corrupt, that we need real, pure, moral people to be the voice that guides the country. That's Limbaugh.
And Limbaugh says, people listen to the radio for three things: entertainment, entertainment, entertainment.
Freedom is killed off by people claiming that the greater good or the general will or the betterment of the community requires speech patrol.
I think one of the biggest problems in conservative media is that the hosts see themselves as entertainers. They wake up in the morning and the question driving them is, how can I put on the best show today that I possibly can? And the audience doesn't see them that way. The audience sees them as a factual, rigorous, like, news source.
And therein lies the rub. Are talk radio hosts out to entertain, inform, or inflame? And can their listeners even tell the difference?
And look what we have now. We have a man who can barely speak and think. We have a number two who has the mind of a third grader herself.
Shelley Perkins is in advertising, but she works part-time as a Lyft driver, spending hours in her car listening to the radio.
Hey, I'm Shelley. Nice to meet you.
Come, let's sit.
So what do you get from a talk radio host? Is it that you get entertainment, or is it that you're getting your news?
Yes. It's both. It's both. But I think what I do in particular is that I'm deciding, based on other sources, how much of what they're saying is factual and how much is their opinion. I think you have to have a healthy dose of skepticism to understand that everybody has an agenda. I'm just afraid that people in general don't understand that.
Yeah, and in talk radio, that line between fact and opinion, between journalism and entertainment, it's very blurred, right?
Yes, and it's definitely easier just to go with whatever Glenn Beck said or, you know, Rush Limbaugh. It's just easier, right? Because they're so compelling. If you can look at it like it's entertainment and get pieces, nuggets of information that are valuable to you, then I think that's the healthy way to consume any media right now.
Talk radio show hosts hide behind the idea that they're entertainers, because they are, but they're influential entertainers. If you set out to deceive, then you're hiding behind entertainment in a way that doesn't hold water in my book. But if you are entertaining, but you are telling the truth, then that's okay.
But this is a problem, right? Because for the listener, are they able to make that distinction? You know, for the people who talk radio is their main source of news, how problematic is that?
That's a problem with the listener if they have talk radio as their main source of news. That's not talk radio's fault. People have to understand how to consume media. I consider that to be as much the public's responsibility as it is the host or the politician.
But what if the public are actually being told that what they're hearing is news? What if it's right there in the branding when the host signs off?
Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.
Do you get your news from Jeff?
Yeah, I get my news from Jeff. You know, he keeps me in the loop.
So you really trust him?
We trust him. Yeah, and he's helped a lot of folks who didn't feel like they were as well educated in the national front. I think he has now educated those folks and is bringing it to their kitchen table.
America is going through a very divisive time at the moment. You've got some major partisan issues. Abortion rights, you've got gun control, you've got Trump's stolen election narrative, you've got immigration, like so many things. Do you think that when Jeff Katz talks about these kind of things, it makes you think?
Not only does it make you think, it makes you believe. I think that folks who maybe at one time didn't necessarily believe that it was as bad as it appeared, now they do understand that it's important that they get out and they vote. And I think that more and more people are doing that these days because of talk radio.
So does Jeff influence how you think about the world,
of course,
about political issues, how you vote?
Of course. Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
There you have it. The power of talk radio. But when I put that to Jeff Katz, he said what he offers is opinion, not advice, that it's up to the listener to understand the difference, however subtle it may be.
I don't tell people how to vote. I do share with people how I think and how I'm voting, and if they choose to agree, they choose to agree.
But for your listeners, I mean, a lot of them, talk radio is their primary news source. Do you think they see the differentiation between being entertained and being given information?
Well, I think it's... Here's one of those 10-cent words. I mean, I think it's a mélange. I think really people understand that if you're going to devote time to listening to me, I have to make it entertaining. Am I going to get anybody to listen for all 3 hours? That's a tough putt. That's a really, really difficult thing. So it has to be entertaining, but again, it is informative. Radio and talk radio in particular is an art form, and it's an entertainment-based means to deliver information.
An art form painted with the broadest of brushstrokes. One that has proven incredibly lucrative.
No one's looking at this economy right now and thinking to themselves, yeah, they've done a really good job. And in fact, quite the opposite. And Biden is just living in an alternate universe where he reads whatever the advisors around him put on the screen. He has no idea what's going on. This is a man.
The combination of informing or inflaming alongside entertaining pays.
For media execs, it's a win-win. Cheap talk that sells big. But for the hosts themselves, is it about making money or is it about the ideology?
Give me a break. It's all bottom line. It's all bottom line. When people complain that, oh, these corporations are trying to influence the political election, they don't care about the political election. I mean, they may individually care or whatever, but all of the big-time conservative talk show hosts that exist today will lose their jobs when or if the tide changes and liberal talk radio is suddenly selling better than conservative talk radio.
Out letting people urinate, defecate, steal things, camp on the streets, as Democrats have done in pretty much every city in the country, it's a bad idea.
They are businessmen. They are showmen. They are driven by doing the best that they can do, putting on the best show, making the most money. That being said, for the most part, most of them are authentic conservatives.
If the GOP goes on offense, stops taking a knee, and actually gets the messaging right, we could be back on track here for the red wave we've been hoping for.
Where their politics diverge from business, I think, is in tone and style. Where what was good politics for the Republican Party might have been cutting a deal that makes them appear more inclusive or broader-minded or, you know, able to compromise and govern, didn't always make for what was good radio. Good radio was stick to your principles.
What probably started as a market-driven phenomenon came to have political implications, right? Rush Limbaugh had mastered the special sauce of radio.
You know, folks, I have to tell you something. This white guilt
It's time for all this white guilt to end.
How to incite emotions, how to create a community, how to get people coming back again and again. And that was good for the radio owners, right? That's good for the market. That's good for the bottom line. But over time, the kind of power that was found in that community, the power of that relationship that he had with those listeners, that became a political force. That became an ideological force to be reckoned with. No one can deny talk radio has proven exceptionally beneficial to the Republican Party, both as a megaphone for right-wing talking points and as a machine for ginning up the base. But as the industry took hold and hosts' influence over conservative voters grew, so too did their impact on the party's politics, sometimes to its detriment.
Talk radio was really, really useful to the Republican Party in like the 90s. I think that over time it has become less and less useful, and if anything, it's more of a hindrance today than it is a help, because they're more worried about playing to the audience and not losing the audience than what is good for the Republican Party. When Republicans have a responsibility to govern, it goes poorly because that requires compromise, it requires nuance, and those are bad things for conservative media.
I would not want to be a mainstream Republican lawmaker right now. I think it would be very hard to be a moderate Republican in this climate. When you have conservative media, conservative talk radio, setting an agenda that is a very disciplined, no compromise agenda, it's going to make the job of a moderate lawmaker very difficult.
Republicans who do not cave to the extraordinary pressure exerted on them in Washington today, you know who they are? They're tomorrow's leaders. Trump is the model going forward.
Who will want to run for office for the Republican Party, knowing full well that you have these voices on the right who are going to say, you can't compromise. You can't possibly negotiate. It's our way or the highway. And if you dare step one step to the center, you're punished.
The idea that conservative talk radio is hindering rather than helping the Republican Party is a relatively recent development. For much of its early existence, the two were so closely aligned, it was often hard to tell where one began and one ended. Almost as if the Republican Party had had a hand in the industry's creation.
It is naive to think that the Republican Party created conservative talk radio. If anything, conservative talk radio created the Republican Party as it exists today. That being said, the Republican Party paid more attention to this emerging form of radio in the late 80s and through the formative 90s than the Democrats did. When we put together one of our national conventions in the late 90s, right before the 2000 election, I called the Democratic National Committee and I called the Republican National Committee to invite their two candidates to come and speak to our talk radio convention. The two candidates were George W. Bush and Al Gore. The Gore people said, send a letter. Send a letter, explain what this is all about. The Bush people said, send directions, how do we get there? And that really indicates the difference between how the Democrats and the Republicans have approached talk radio.
Does it? Or was it that, by the late 90s, Democrats had figured out that most of the talk radio industry was hostile to their kind of politics?
Democrat Party is dangerous.
Time then to fight back.
Broadcasting from an underground bunker 3,500 feet below Dick Cheney's bunker, Air America Radio is on the air.
It's not as if the left hasn't tried talk radio. Liberals, realizing that they were missing out, brought in some serious muscle to try and level out the playing field.
Folks, you and I know that the radical right wing of the Republican Party has taken over not just the White House, the Congress, but even, and perhaps most insidiously, the airwaves.
Air America was launched here in New York in 2004, but the experiment, the investment in progressive talk radio, didn't exactly pay off.
Well, part of it has to do with the style and delivery of the liberals. They're not funny and they're not nice.
Our friends on the right, and they are our friends, except for the ones who aren't.
And we saw that with this epic fail of what was called Air America. Wall to wall with the greatest liberal personalities in America. And they were terrible. They weren't fun to listen to. They weren't interesting. Conservatives have played very well in talk radio because there is a very real understanding of radio as a medium. And I think that has been the obstacle for liberal talk show hosts who have thought it is all about the issues and we've got to hammer the issues.
Today is both an ending and a beginning. An end to the right-wing dominance of talk radio. The beginning of a battle for truth.
They were reading scripts. They were reading scripts with political doctrine. And I remember turning to the person next to me and go, that's it. Forget it. Because you don't read scripts on radio, and you don't read scripts on talk radio. It had nothing to do with, hey, here we are, what a world, da-da-da. It was, here's what's wrong with the Republicans, and it was doomed to failure.
If you put Bush 1 and Bush 2 together, in the more than 7 years that they've been presidents, they have not created one new net job.
They also were not really great at that threat-oriented, really decisive, efficient, hyperbolic content that Rush Limbaugh did so well. That's one. Two, is there a market for that talk radio outrage format among socially or culturally liberal listeners? Maybe not, right? If you're talking about people who tend to really prioritize sort of nuance, they like thinking, they like riddle solving, they like coming to their own conclusions. So on both the side of production and the side of reception, it's just not a great fit.
What's important about Air America is that it reinforces the sense among people in the radio business that liberal radio can't work, that for some reason this is conservatives only. And the real truth is, I think if a Limbaugh-level talent had come along, they could have done successful liberal radio. But the barrier to entry was very high because conservatives colonized it first. Conservatives got there first.
Conservatives may have been the first to tap into talk radio's potential, but there's always been a fair amount of other content on the airwaves, not exactly in the same mold, but offering liberal listeners what they want to hear.
This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. Thank you for joining us.
There is liberal talk radio. National Public Radio and the entire spectrum of public radio, but because conservative talk radio is so controversial and it has so many enemies and so many detractors and so many fans, it gets the buzz.
It has a louder voice.
It has a gigantic voice. And as a result, it seems to be the dominant form of radio dominating American politics when all it is a form of radio that's giving a large segment of the American population a voice.
By the way, if you think you live in a free country, you don't. You live in a soft authoritarian state.
Part of the reason conservative talk radio seems so loud is because its messaging has moved well beyond its original medium.
It's now a central part in a much larger talk media industry. The templates, the topics, even some of the hosts travel between platforms, a revolving door of right-wing rhetoric.
Talk radio for a long time was the only supermarket in the town, which meant everybody had to shop there. If you were a Republican politician and you wanted to reach your base voters, you had to go to conservative talk radio. Well, then along comes cable news.
So what we have is an old, decrepit president
who can barely shuffle his feet, can't read a teleprompter, prefers a phony Oval Office to the real Oval Office, and everywhere Americans are looking, they are faced with the reality every single day of the consequences of all of Joe Biden's policies and the failures of those policies.
Along comes Breitbart and Town Hall and Red State and all these digital platforms. And in one sense, it diminishes the importance of talk radio because they're no longer the only guy in town. But in another sense, it's actually not like competitor supermarkets open, but other branches of the same supermarket. And the message is basically the same from talk radio, from television, from the internet, this entire unified conservative media ecosystem.
It's crucial to remember that the very same people who were there as Limbaugh got his start were there for the creation of the Fox News Network in 1996. The spirit and aesthetic of Limbaugh's show became the spirit and aesthetic of Fox News's opinion shows. From Bill O'Reilly to Sean Hannity to Tucker Carlson and Laura Ingraham, these are all hosts who are operating in the shadow of Rush Limbaugh, who are trying to emulate that same genre.
Fox News Channel influenced everybody else because the news organization suddenly said, maybe opinion shows, maybe the op-ed column of our figurative newspaper is what's bringing people in. Maybe opinion is selling better than objective reporting.
Biden isn't simply incompetent, though obviously he is. Biden is the single most destructive force in the history of the United States.
And that's the basis of where we are right now. We have shifted from a paradigm in which opinion was a sideshow and the main dish was objective journalism to opinion being the main show, and in some cases on many platforms now, the only show.
The Democrats are crooked, they are corrupt, and they are cheats. That's the way the Democrat Party has been since its founding. Crooked, corrupt, cheats.
A lot has changed over the past three decades. The conservative media ecosystem we see today is a very different one to the one Rush Limbaugh entered in the late 1980s.
I have to tell you something today, but I wish I didn't have to tell you. I have been diagnosed with advanced lung cancer.
When Rush Limbaugh died, much was made of his legacy, the impact that he and the industry he helped pioneer has had on reshaping American conservatism, and by implication, American society and politics.
The problem is, when you have a conservative political talk radio or political media ecosystem that is constantly banging the drum that this is how our team thinks, this is what we believe, this is how we conduct our business, this is how we talk, everything else is unacceptable, it gives the impression that there is no room for compromise, that there is no room. It's a zero-sum game. And that's not how democracy works. So right now, as much as we're divided at the elite level, the conservative media ecosystem makes it seem as though we are far more divided than we actually are.
Kamala Harris says, oh, the border's secure. And the next day, she has illegal aliens at her front door literally saying, hey, by the way, it's not secure, and that's why we're here.
I don't even know where you begin, because everybody is so up in arms about everything that has happened from Afghanistan to the, you know, to the open border crisis to now Roe v. Wade. The list goes on and on. I think I counted 12 to 13 huge political issues on the forefront this year.
Do you think that talk radio hosts help or hinder that situation?
No, I think they're definitely helping. Because the Republican Party is their own worst enemy at times, and we splinter. And so I think that talk radio has been a uniter to make us understand that if we're going to see this battle through, we have to stay coherent, cohesive, and we may not always agree with one another totally, but we're all looking for the same goal, the same end result, and we need to stay united and unified.
I think the people in conservative talk radio, I think, are good people. But sometimes I think that they forget the power that they have. And I think that media hosts should be looking at how to bring people together instead of pulling us apart. Unfortunately, not everybody has those same goals. And so I think that some people feel like it's an us against them place.
Yeah, and do you think that talk radio hosts can almost play into that divisiveness? They can make it worse?
I think some, on both sides, whether it's conservative talk radio or a more liberal newscast, absolutely. You know, I think they have an opportunity, and they know it, to shape somebody else's opinion. And they need to be responsible for that.
File a class action complaint, not only against the people who enter the country illegally, but also all of the politicians who allow for it to happen.
It's a mutually reinforcing cycle. The audience already feels these things, and then the hosts reinforce it, and it just feeds itself. And hosts find they can never get off that treadmill because the audience, if they change their tune, the audience isn't going to go with them. The audience can say, well, wait a second. What do you mean? Did you get soft? What happened to you? You know, did someone hurt you today or something like that? Like, you've been telling us how bad these people were for all these decades. And I think it's a huge driver of polarization for that.
The real issue is 40% of American families say, I can't afford to buy as much at the grocery store this year as I did before Mr. Biden moved his stuff into the Oval Office. That's the issue.
I certainly don't see myself as either a divider or a unifier. I'm not a politician, and I'm not running for office. I'm not trying to get folks to dislike somebody on the other side. I am, however, going to share how I feel about what those people are doing. And if you come away from the show or come away from the conversation saying, yeah, I really don't like what insert name of politician is there, so be it. There's always some line of division. Whether that has to be ugly and nasty and vicious, I think, becomes the question. So we're never going to agree 100% politically in the talk radio realm. And I don't see it as dividing anybody. I think it's really just acknowledging differences that are already there.
Incompetence, incoherence of this administration.
A collection of Biden's disasters.
This is a lie, and we are moving on.
Stories are often told through heroes and villains. In the saga of talk radio, which role the hosts play depends on who's listening. One person's hero is another person's villain. It's just how you see it, or how you hear it.
After the cheating and after the unfairness, after the lying, I would want the Democrats to lose and lose huge. I would want the media to lose and lose huge. They don't deserve to win.
And though talk radio's number one hero or villain has now fallen silent, the industry he propelled has not.
The beat goes on.
These people are not just stupid and dishonest. They are dangerous. These leaders of these Democrat cities, what they're doing is monstrous.
People will continue to talk.
It turns out, as always, that Democratic policy, it's all fun and games until they actually have to pay for it.
The industry will continue.
Because our mission here is to save the country. So now it's time to remake the Republican Party.
Limbaugh will be part of its colorful history, but it certainly will go on without him.
WRV.